Welcome to another edition of the Superflight Podcast, your artisanal NBA podcast. It's Monday, September 26th, and coming at you live from my Brooklyn studio, it's your host, Joe Borelli. What's up, peeps? Just saying hi. I was supposed to have a guest tonight. Unfortunately, he injured himself playing soccer. That's not a joke. And I hope he gets better soon. Dave, if you're listening, try not to injure yourself again. Anyway, coming at you tonight, a couple ways you can get in touch with the show if you'd like to. You can email the show at thesuperflightpodcast@gmail.com. You can tweet at superflightpod on Twitter. You can follow on Stitcher, SoundCloud, iTunes, Google Play, and a number of other different options. I have no idea what those are, but I know they're out there. I know people listen in different countries, including Australia. What's up, The Fuzz NBA Podcast? These guys are awesome. Just giving them a shout out. If you guys haven't ever listened to them, you probably should because they're pretty dope. What else? So I'm here alone in the studio tonight. We're supposed to have a guest host and no guest. So I figured since it is media day, I thought maybe we could talk about some media day in the NBA. Man, I'm so excited. I love media day. I feel like a kid in a candy store. It's like the season has just kicked off and I'm ready to go. And it hasn't even started yet. They haven't even opened training camp. But I guess it happens like in a couple of days or next week. Not really sure about everyone's schedule, but it's pretty exciting stuff. So there's a few things that caught my eye, a few things that caught my attention around the league. I'll talk briefly about those things. Not going to do a super long podcast tonight, but I do have another guest coming up next week. We're going to talk about some Lakers. And let's see. I think a few other people that I can't really mention yet, but there'll be some nice interviews for you guys. Nobody major, but that's okay. Well, one person that I consider pretty major, but hopefully he's still going to do the podcast coming up soon. Anyway, I might cut that part out. It's just rambling. Other things, real quick, let me tell you a little bit about New York in the fall, because it just turned fall. So happy fall, everyone. Fall is easily my second favorite season of the year, followed only by summer. But man, it's been so beautiful outside lately. The air has been crisp and cool, and it's been warm days, and sleeping weather is great. And my sister was in town to visit for the weekend, which was awesome. My wife came back from traveling abroad for work, also awesome. She might come on the podcast at some point and say hello. Yeah, we had a really good weekend. Went to the Met. If you guys don't know the Met, you should definitely check it out. Lots of great art there. Tried to give my sister a little bit of a art history tour, but it's been many years since I have studied art history, so I forget a lot of it. But yeah, it was fun. It was good stuff. We went, walked through the Central Park and got lost, and it was really good stuff. Really good stuff. I know I'm probably boring you all to tears right now. So in the meantime, let's talk about some media days around the NBA. I've just been checking Twitter like crazy. I'm super into this stuff. I don't know why. It's not like it's my career. I just do this for fun, but I'm obsessed. I'm majorly obsessed with the NBA at this point in my life. So a few things I did notice were, let's start with Miami. I don't know why I always like to start with Miami. Maybe it's because it's South and I want to work my way up. So Miami, Chris Bosh a couple days ago or a week ago came out, and I think it was noted that he fired his whole agent crew or something, PR crew, agents. I'm not sure, because they said that, well, I'll say, so Miami said that Chris Bosh is not ready to play. He failed his physical. He's not coming back. And Chris Bosh was saying this whole time that he feels great. He wants to come back. He's ready to play again. And he wants to be part of the team. Well, Miami's apparently not having that. And I think there's a lot of like financial ramifications to that as well. I think that if he is medically retired or something, they don't have to, he comes off their books, I think is the main thing. And we all know that Pat Riley, being a shrewd businessman and very crafty at his, you know, particular what is his career, you know, doing the GM thing as he does. He's really good at it. Sorry, I just had a brain fart there. And so Pat Riley came out at Media Day today and said that basically, for all intents and purposes, Chris Bosh is done. He's no longer going to be part of the Miami organization. So I don't know how this is all going to go down. I don't know if they actually end up having to cut him, but he failed a physical. So it seems to me like they're not actually going to have to worry about cutting him. They're going to say that he's medically unable to play. Now, I could be wrong about this, but that's the way it looks from the outside looking in. Which is unfortunate because, you know, Chris Bosh is a great talent and I've always enjoyed his game. I often thought he was overrated, but I also always thought that he was a phenomenal player. I thought he got, maybe he didn't get downplayed when so it goes both ways. I'm trying to put some thoughts in here, but when he was with, Toronto, like he was praised so much. And he got so many accolades. And he was a great player there, don't get me wrong. I mean, they went through a huge, like, losing spell after he left. But and then in Miami, like, he was just pushed to the side, or so it seemed. But I think he served a really important part. He was very integral to that team winning their championships. And, like, they couldn't have done it without him. He's a great talent. He's not. I mean, he's probably top 20 player in the league when he's healthy. Which, you know, a lot of people would say he's better than that. I kind of disagree, but I still like him. I think he's a great player, and I feel bad because he also seems to be like a super nice, good guy, and I get stuck on people's personalities for some reason. I guess I attach myself emotionally to them. I don't know. I'm a weird guy. It's fine. But I always rooted for Chris Bosh. He seems like a totally solid dude and one who I want to succeed, and like, I don't even know where his career stands at this point, if he's like a viable Hall of Fame candidate, but he's, you know, he's a great presence defensively. He's a great stopper. He's really good offensively. He can walk out and hit the three, which is crazy. He was like maybe one of the first stretch fours in the game, or even a stretch center, which is nuts. Like, to think that someone that big and athletic could, you know, like, he's that athletic, but he could do that. He meant a lot to that team. And now that he's gone, or will be gone, you know, I mean, obviously Miami is starting not from scratch, but they're definitely going through a rebuilding period. They've, you know, LeBron left 2 years ago and Dwayne Wade shipped out this week. Well, he's not shipped out, but he left as well. So Miami is definitely undergoing some changes. It's just interesting to see what's going on there. And I want to keep a keen eye on what's happening just because, you know, they're switching over. I imagine they're going to give the keys to the young guys like Justice Winslow, who I'm super excited to watch play. He's got all the defensive potential in the world, and it looks like his offensive game will probably come around sooner than later. The Dragon down there, he'll actually be better without without Wade around, because Wade slowed down that game. Wade's a slow down the system, you know. He's very crafty with the ball, but he needed the ball in his hands and he worked around the basket. He sort of plays like a little big man, but super crafty, but he doesn't run a fast paced system that I think will be great for, Goran Dragic and Hassan Whiteside. I think they're going to get out and run this year. It seems like that's their only option really, but anyway, you know, it's mostly about just Chris Bosh. And like, if this is the end of his career, it's sad to see him go because he seems like one of the, you know, good guys in the NBA. I mean, I'm sure everybody in the NBA is a good guy, whatever. And I'm sure they're all dickheads too because, you know, just athletes. I mean, we're all good and bad in our own right. I am constantly. But yeah, so there's that. And it just seems that Pat Riley is, you know, pulling Pat Riley stuff again, which is, you know, going to be really good for Miami, I think, ultimately. He's just so shrewd at this kind of, you know, he's unapologetic and he just does what he needs to do. Well, actually, that's not true. He does apologize. But anyway, you know, so there's that. There's just some quick thoughts on Miami. It's also much easier to do this with a co-host, so I'm not rambling so much talking by myself, but whatever. It's fine. Get used to it because this is how it is. If you guys liked the podcast before, you should like it going forward now. Won't be probably as funny, but you got me. Anyway, other thoughts. So KG retired. He announced his retirement. KG was a dominant defensive presence. It's going to be sad sort of to not see him play again, although he's been a shell of himself since he left Boston. in Brooklyn. I mean, he was okay in Brooklyn, but he wasn't as great as he was when he was with Boston. You know, he meant a lot to the Timberwolves. I think he did a great job of bringing Karl-Anthony Towns along, and probably meant a lot to him as a mentor. And Karl-Anthony Towns, they asked him about it, and he, you know, he made a joke today. He was like, "Yeah, you guys cut right to the chase." And they asked him about it, and he was very thoughtful about it. Karl-Anthony Towns, to me, strikes me as like a really bright kid, man. He's super put together, and just like mature for his age. Like, to go along with the unearthly sort of talent, he seems like he's going to be just a phenomenal presence in person for the NBA game, for the whole thing. But you know, Karl-Anthony talked a little bit. That's right, Karl-Anthony. He and I are like, we're fast friends. I call him Karl-Anthony. You can call him Cat, but whatever. He talked a little bit about, you know, KG. He just mentioned that he was a great influence to him, and like what he meant to him. And as KG was sort of like an older brother, and you know, it's sort of the changing of the guards. We've lost Kobe. Goodbye, Kobe. Never liked you, but that's okay. You meant a lot to the game. And you know, KG's gone. Somebody else major retired. Oh, that's right. It was Tim Duncan. Okay. So anyways, we lost some major players this year, and, you know, the NBA landscape is changing, but this happens. It happens all the time. It's always going to happen. I think it's just that, like, when three really, like all-star, like career Hall of Fame career kind of guys retire at once, it's just it's a very stark contrast. It puts the league into stark relief, and you're like, well, yeah, we see now that there's a lot of younger guys that are up and coming, and what this means for the league. And you know, it's actually a really different league from when those guys were drafted. I mean, like, I think the NBA has done a great job of like telling guys, showing kids coming in how to be a positive impact and a positive influence. I don't know that they'd ever not done that before, but like being self-aware and being responsible with their money and things of that nature. So it's just an interesting sort of like play against, you know, the old and the new. But that doesn't mean anything at all. But anyway, yeah, so KG's gone. Goodbye, KG. It was fun watching you play. You were pretty ridiculous and a notorious trash talker. The things he said on the court that I've heard, that everyone's probably heard, have been really sort of just, you know, my God, I don't know if I could, if I was his size and I was playing in the NBA and he said that stuff to me, I definitely would have fought him. He must have gotten under so many people's skin. Anyway, that's it. But so long, KG, you were great for the game. And I wouldn't mind hearing him in commentary if he can mark that thing. That would be fun. Another thing that I noticed, and this, I don't really want to get too political on this podcast, but, I probably should say that I'm a little bit liberal. And you know, cause I have an arts degree background. So if you don't like me, I'm sorry. I hope I don't say anything that offends you, but, the whole Colin Kaepernick thing came up. And Greg Popovich, who's an incredibly, obviously bright individual and very well thought out. And he had some really good, interesting things to say. And like, if you don't know what I'm talking about, you should check out, Twitter and like see the, you know, the Spurs interviews with Pop, and they asked him about Colin Kaepernick, and he went pretty deep into it too. And like, I totally, absolutely agree with everything that man said. Like, he floors me by his ability to actually put a really good, you know, string of thoughts together, like I'm not doing right now, but he floors me with his ability to be so considerate and well thought out and poignant at the same time with his commentary. And like, you know, he mentioned that when he was, you know, when his kids were growing up, he never had the conversation with them about how to act if a cop stops you while you're driving. But all of his black friends have. And that's something that shouldn't happen. It's not right. That we know about this and that it happens is just wrong. And like, something needs to be done. So he supports Colin Kaepernick's decision to protest the way he's doing it. And, you know, and he just gives some really good thoughts on it. You should guys check out Twitter, check out the feed, and like go see what he said. It's really good. It's very, very thoughtful. He's an incredibly intelligent man. I applaud him for his thoughts. It's really good. I think more people should take a minute to consider their reactions about a peaceful I don't even know if you could call it a protest, but bringing awareness to just an atrocious situation that's happening in this country right now. Anyway, that's, I don't want to talk too much about it, but good for Mr. Popovich. Good job, Pop. Anyway, on a little bit lighter side of things, I guess that Swaggy P and D'Angelo Russell have made nice. I guess they're no longer, or I guess Nick Young's no longer pissed at D'Angelo for basically breaking, well, actually, we can't blame him for breaking up his marriage. But and he wasn't even married. But for outing him as a cheating louse, I guess. I don't know. Like, people have talked about this ad nauseum. It was a ridiculous thing to do. It was silly. But just a lot of people talked about how it just showed D'Angelo Russell's immaturity and his age. And I totally agree with all that. And I think he's still doing it. If you watched the Lakers play the Sixers in summer league, even, and D'Angelo Russell was like ice in my veins. Like, it's a summer league game. Calm it for a minute. Yeah, you can shoot, but can you take it down a notch? I don't think he had that stellar of a rookie season. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm pretty sure I'm not. Anyway, I don't dislike D'Angelo Russell. I think he's going to be a really nice player. And yeah, I don't understand what Swaggy P's doing on that team, but whatever. I don't understand that team at all. You know what? I'm going to save my thoughts on the Lakers because I don't want to offend my upcoming guest. And I will talk about that soon. But yeah, so there are things around the league. What else? I know there were other things I wanted to talk about, and it totally slipped my mind. Well, let's just cut to the chase. Since I'm solo, I might as well just talk about the Sixers because that is my favorite team. And, so they had media day today, and last night, Nerlens Noel came out saying that, the Sixers situation right now doesn't make any sense, that there's a logjam of bigs, and he's coming off as really salty. By the way, I hate Nerlens' hair like this. I really love the flat top. Nerlens, if you're listening, which I know you're not, please change your hair back. It was so much cooler the other way. Anyway, maybe that's just the 90s kid in me that wants that, yearns for the flat top to come back. But I don't know. I love Nerlens Noel. I love his game. Apparently, he's done some crappy things. Apparently, everyone has on every basketball team. But whatever. Like, there's the whole rental situation in Philly. And if you guys don't know what I'm talking about, I don't even really know that much about it. Something about a property he owned or rented and destroyed. I don't know. Don't really like to get into that stuff, but that's neither here nor there. He's obviously upset about the fact that the Sixers have three really talented, unless you count Rashawn Holmes as well, four really talented young big men. And there's no way to play them all 30 minutes a night. So we obviously saw from last year that Nerlens Noel and Jahlil Okafor cannot play together. It's a train wreck. There's no spacing on that floor. Nerlens, I think, personally, has the potential to be a defensive player of the year. Maybe a defensive great, man. Like, the guy he has an acumen for defense that you don't see come along very often. It's incredible. It's astounding. His offensive game is limited to putbacks and, well, not even putbacks, but lobs. And that's fine. Like, he can hit the occasional 12-foot jumper. Cool. He can set a pick. Not that well. He's very thin, but he can set a pick. He can rebound better than Jahlil Okafor can, which I don't really understand, but whatever. His offensive game is limited, but he's a pogo stick. He's incredibly athletic. He can get out on the edge and guard wings at times. And he can recover really quickly. He is just so super fast. I love the guy. He's a shot blocker extraordinaire. And I understand totally his discomfort, let's say, with this situation in Philadelphia. It sucks. I don't like it either, but to come out right now, the day before, the media day opens, it stings a little bit for me. And he loves the fans. He keeps reiterating that he has a great deal of love for the fans for Philadelphia. And that's awesome. I just kind of wish that he had kept it to himself a bit. I totally understand. I think at this point, he's not asking for a trade outright, but I think that he's trying to get himself traded, which is fair. But honestly, and look, I'm not a Okafor guy. I'm not an Okafor guy. I am somewhere in between. I think that Jahlil Okafor does have valuable skills that he can bring to your team. I think that he's an incredibly gifted low post scorer, and he's shown that he can step back and hit like a 12-foot jump shot. He's got incredible touch. He's got gigantic hands. He didn't do it last year, but he, in college, was a great passer. And he can back people down. Like, he's got moves on moves under the rim. His defense is so, so bad that also he's slow and he dominates the ball. And that doesn't mean I don't like him. I mean, I just don't like his fit on this team. But of the two, you know, like, I think both of them can be really, and apparently what's going to happen is they're ultimately, if Joel Embiid is healthy, they're both going to get traded at some point. But listen, I think both of those guys can be really good, like even dominant players on their teams at their position. And unfortunately, I think what's going to happen is they're both going to be out of Philadelphia. And, you know, I think, again, everyone in Philly has said this, but signing Okafor to begin with, or drafting Okafor to begin with, was a huge mistake. They should have gone for Porzingis. I don't know what the deal was. But, you know, Porzingis had a lot of question marks, too. Nobody had seen him play, except for Sam Finke. Anyway, but no one had seen him play, and, you know, he was a huge unknown. He could have gone one way or the other, and I'm still worried about Porzingis' knees. I'm sorry. His knees just don't look like they're going to hold him. It, you know, I've watched him run. It scares me. But that's everyone, you know? It can happen to anyone. So whatever. So far, Porzingis is a star. The thing is, and I know the... All right, so I also understand the need to draft best player available. I get that argument. And I know there was a lot of people in Philadelphia that were like, best player available, period. Bar none, you go with best player available. It doesn't matter who it is. I get that. But also I think there needs to be, I think now what we're seeing is there should be a little bit of nuance to that. You know, you should also, I know you shouldn't ever take players for need before you know what you have. But when they took Okafor, they could have taken, God, they could have taken other players. I mean, there were some wings that were, you know, anyway, it doesn't matter. That's hindsight. It's always 2020, and not going to get into that, but I'm just a little upset about Noel. I don't want him to be upset. I really want him to play and have a great year. And that's just going to shoot his value up to get traded. And like, and I know for him, he wants to get a big payday and he wants to be able to showcase what he can do. That makes perfect sense. I'm totally in his corner on this. I just wish he hadn't brought it up now. And he's been very silent over the summer and he's not been to any of their events. He didn't even wear a Sixers shirt to media day yesterday, which is just, it just seems a little, I know what, you know, you're in a shitty position, but dude, suck it up. Just be a team player, because that attitude, and not even that he's having an attitude, but that kind of thinking is not going to get you like looks by many other teams. They're going to be like, well, you know, maybe not. Look at the Morris Twins. Anyway, but I hope they don't trade Noel. Honestly, like I like Okafor enough, and I think he'll be a value on another team. Of the two of them, I really hope they keep Noel. Because as much hope as I have that Joel Embiid is going to be as awesome as everyone thinks he's going to be, he's also a huge unknown and a scary, scary risk with that foot injury. Twice he had surgery. And then the back before that, we all forget about the back injury, but that was what had him red flagged to begin with. I know his body was still growing. He was just, you know, he was a 19-year-old kid, I think, at the time, and he grew 2 inches since he was drafted. Of course these things are going to happen. Well, not of course, but I mean, there's also no precedent for what he's gone through, and that anyone, you know, no one has ever been out of the league for 2 years with foot surgeries and never come back, I think. I mean, Michael Jordan, but that was one foot surgery, and, you know, KD too. I think he had the same foot injury and he came back, but like he also had a long career before that. So what Joel Embiid is going through is unprecedented. I really, I have great hope that he's going to come out and play. I'm super scared that he's going to come out and play for a week and be injured again and never see the court again. And we're going to go through this all over again. And I think that if you trade either of Noel or Okafor at this point, it's a really big gamble. Like, you don't know what you have in Joel yet. You don't know if he's going to be able to stay healthy. And of the two other centers that they have that I would like to see back up Joel Embiid, it would definitely be Nerlens Noel. Again, I think this is not throwing shade at
Jahlil Okafor. I'm just a bigger Noel fan. That's it. Okay. I think everyone around and in Philadelphia, every writer and every podcaster has spoken about this. I'm not doing any good to tell you this over and over again. If you were listening to this podcast, there's a good chance that you might be a Sixers fan yourself, or you just happen to stumble on this podcast and you hear some idiot rambling about Sixers shit, the most irrelevant team for the last 3 years. By the way, I will always love them. That's all. Anyway. The only other thing that I wanted to talk about, you know, and that sucks too, because I'm rambling just a little bit here, but it also sucks because I'd like to talk about other things, like how I think, you know, Sarch's year is going to go, or Sarich, whatever, you know, Robert Covington, or if Nick Stauskas is going to make the team. Stauskas, boy, that's a hard name to say when you're drinking. Sorry. You know, if he's going to make the team, but whatever. And here I am stuck talking about how saddened I am by Nerlens Noel's comments. It's fine. This is the NBA, and I love it. Other things. I did want to talk a little bit about Brian Colangelo's, and I know this is like a week old, but Brian Colangelo's interview with Wojnarowski. I should mention that I had these thoughts before I listened to either of the Wright's Turkey Sanchez or Sixers Beat podcasts, but and I agreed with both of those podcasts. Those guys are great. I'm a big fan. When Colangelo started talking, I don't know if you guys have listened to this. If you haven't, you should check it out. Woj usually does a really good job with his guests. He's a very thoughtful, insightful guy. But for me, Brian Colangelo was he started out talking about what he thought needed to change. And it was the culture of losing, which I think is just, it's just ridiculous. Like, there's no culture of losing. It's just, I can understand there being a bad attitude, or I can understand you being the Kings where, like, you know, things just are horribly mismanaged and just do not go right. And you have coach after coach after coach and yada, yada, yada. I get that. I get that there's like a cloud hanging over your franchise because it's just shittily managed. I don't think that was the case in Philadelphia. I think that the culture of losing is, first of all, just it's a way oversimplified version of what actually happens. I mean, you know, it would take a long time to get into all that, I guess, but I don't really believe in a losing culture or a winning culture. I think you're either losing or winning, and I think that, you know, the guys, like, they never tried to lose. They didn't go out there and try to lose. They're not like, this is a losing culture, let's go out and lose. I mean, maybe they were a little bothered by the fact that they couldn't win, and there was a lot less talent on their roster than there was in other people's. But I don't think that they built a losing culture. I think Brett Brown did a fantastic job of keeping those guys together. I mean, like, you want to talk about losing culture? Like, we've all heard of horror stories about other teams fracturing when they're like, look at the Cowboys for the last couple of years. They have an injury and their team just falls apart. They start infighting and bickering. And from all accounts, we didn't hear any of that from the Sixers. I mean, yeah, Okafor got into trouble at the beginning of the season, and like, those things happen. But I don't really think that it was because like they were building a losing culture. It bothered me a little bit that he would say that. And whatever, most of the interview, he's really good. He said a lot of good things, and I'm glad he was talking about how he's learned, maybe the one thing he's learned is to be more, to wait, be more patient when he's making trades. Because like in the past, he's done things he's been very proactive, very, very active in trade deadlines. And this, now he's learning to like slow down. And I like that. I think that it's definitely good. Wait till the right moment comes. Maybe he can, you know, figure that out. But in general, it just seemed to me like he was a little bit self-congratulatory. And it just bothered me just a little bit. Like, I went into it thinking, like, okay, I came out of it thinking that, like, I really want to like Brian Colangelo. I think so far in Philadelphia, he's done a great job with handling what he's been given. Maybe outside of the Nerlens Noel and Okafor and Joel Embiid thing, maybe he could have got something done. But I'm okay with him not doing it yet until something comes along and they really find out what Joel Embiid is. Outside of that, I think that he's done a great job. I think he did really well with his draft picks. I think he's done fantastic handling the media for some things and like being way more available. But like, and every time I want to like him, he just opens his mouth and says some shit that I'm just like, dude, shut up. Why are you saying that? Nobody's making you say this. You're just a little bit like your dad. Like, your ego is just too big for your britches, I think. That's just the way it seems to me. Maybe I'm wrong. But like, when he went on, I think it was the Sixers Beat podcast, they had an interview with him when he first started, like early summer. And he came on and he started, like, instead of saying, like, you know, they asked him about his time in Toronto. And right away he throws Chris Bosh under the bus, like saying that Chris Bosh wasn't that guy. Okay, maybe he wasn't that guy. But really, you didn't really have to, like, slam Bosh for it. You could have just owned that situation. You could have just said that, like, okay, so maybe I could have learned more from that situation rather than just say, oh, it was Chris Bosh. And I'm misquoting and I'm probably remembering it a little bit harsher in my head than it actually was. But again, like, so far I'm fine with Brian Colangelo as the Sixers GM, but I'm worried about him making a stupid trade and letting his ego get the better of him. I hope not. I hope that never happens. I hope he's smarter than I am. I hope he's smarter than I am. And, you know, he does learn, or he did learn from his mistakes. I have great hope. I just wish that he would also be a little bit more aware of what he's saying about the things he's taking credit for. That's all. I don't think, by the way, if there was such a thing as losing and winning culture, I don't think that you can change that culture in an offseason without ever having played a game. I don't think you can say that I came in and changed the culture of losing to one of winning when you've not played a single game under your regime. No, maybe they did at the end of last season, but whatever. It's too soon for all that. I don't think you can make that claim. Yeah, they have the brand new practice facility and it's huge and it's beautiful, but I don't, and you know, by the way, Sam Hinkie had a lot to do with that. And he did give Hinkie credit. All right, so this has just turned into a Sixers podcast. Sorry, guys. I really did want to go around the league and talk a little bit, but also, you know, again, it's media day. The training camps are opening. Let's cut it with the Sixers. I get myself into trouble with this. But I'll just end it there. I'll end it there. It's a Monday night. The debates are coming up, and I'm not going to get political on you. I'm really trying not to get political. I'll just say that there are two candidates, and I'm going to leave it at that. And you can decide what you want to do, but I hope you make the right decision and not vote a knucklehead, misogynist, racist pig into the Oval Office. Thank you. Anyway, anything else? I don't think that's about it for me. Anyway, it was good talking to you guys. So, going to have some guests coming up on the podcast. It's going to be guest format from here on out. I would love to talk to any writers for teams or podcasters. I don't care how big or small you are. It would be great to talk to you personally and have an interview. I just think it would be fun. And if you think that too, feel free to get in touch. You can get in touch with the show in a number of ways. You can either email thesuperflightpodcast@gmail.com. You can tweet at us or at me at superflightpod. You can follow the show on Stitcher, SoundCloud, iTunes, Google Play, and you can also go to the website, the Superflight Podcast, just thesuperflightpodcast.com. If you follow, please rate the show and leave a review because it helps other people find the show. And I would really appreciate that. Again, I'm really just basically doing this for fun, but I'm so into this right now at this point in my life, and I want you guys to take this journey with me. So hit me up, talk to me, follow the show, And it's been an awesome Monday night. Good luck with everything, guys and gals. And I will talk to you next week when we'll have another special guest. Peace.